In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now today, I'm going to take you back even further than the great flood and the Exodus and all of that other good stuff. I want you to think back. Some of you will remember this. Some of you will think I'm lying. But I want you to think back to a time when we had exactly three television stations. ABC, NBC, and CBS. We had three, and we said, why? We have all of these stations, and there's still nothing to watch on TV. Now close your eyes, because this will probably be a cultural phenomenon you'll remember. And I want you to pretend this is radio, and I want you to think of hearing a beautiful trumpet fanfare. And then over the trumpet fanfare comes the voice, spanning the globe, to bring you a constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports. Do you remember that? People here remember that? Okay, good. Sometimes I do these cultural references and no one gets them. Okay. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. That sentence fragment conjured up for me the memory of the decisive moment, which is the athletic contest. I thought of that last week as I was headed home from work and I was listening to a radio program in which they were doing one of those special interest stories about the Olympics. And they were interviewing a mother of an Olympian who herself had been an Olympian in the 1980s. She was a speed skater. And she was saying how she was nervous for her daughter and how they went to Korea to the Olympics. And they were great to see that her daughter, who is a biathlete, had a very good start to her run. Because she said, you know, in 1980s, I had a terrible start in Lake Placid. She said, I got on the ice. She said, and at both times, she said, I was actually so excited and so frightened at the same time that I realized that I didn't know where my starting line was. She said, it was just by accident that I got to the right place and the right time so that I could compete in the Olympics, something that I had trained for my whole life. You see, the agony of defeat and the thrill of victory goes hand in hand in athletic contests, which are moments of truth, which are quite different than ordinary periods of time. And you know what? That's a beautiful example of not only what happens here in the beginning of St. Mark's Gospel to Jesus, but also what happens to us in our lives of faith. Let me explain. Mark's Gospel is addressed to a people who have a different understanding of time than we do. When we think of time, we think of time only as one word and only in one way. The ancients would have understood our way of thinking of time as chronos. That's the root word of the word chronograph, which is an instrument that measures time quite accurately. And chronos, time, is nothing other than a human construct. We have periods of time, right? We have a year. A year is exactly how long it takes for the Earth to orbit the sun. We have a day, another unit of time. That's exactly how long it takes for the Earth to make one revolution. And then we have those arbitrary things we split up. We divide that and subdivide it by hours and minutes and seconds and then, you know, all the way down to like tenths and hundreds and thousandths of a second. But nevertheless, that's just average, ordinary, chronological time. It goes in one direction and that's it. Now, aside from chronos, which is our human understanding of time, our human need to name and to organize the world around us, the ancients who heard the gospel according to St. Mark had another understanding of time that they called kairos. This was divine time. This was God's time. And God's time, kairotic time, is a time of decision that is rife with opportunities for the thrill of victory and the sting of defeat. Like an athletic contest, it basically brings those two things into focus. The beginning of Jesus' ministry in Mark's gospel is none other than a kairotic moment. It begins with Jesus seeking out John the Baptist in the wilderness, where he is baptized and where the Spirit claims him, and then that very same Spirit pushes him and rushes him out into the wilderness where he is tested. He is tempted by none other than Satan, the Avenger, for a very biblical time, for 40 days and 40 nights. This, for Jesus, is a kairotic moment. Will this one Jesus stand or fall in the wilderness? And he perseveres, and immediately after persevering, he goes back to his hometown, and he mentions time. He says, the time is fulfilled. The time of God, the kairotic time, is fulfilled. The Spirit of heaven has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. And what the gospel does is it draws the listener in. You begin with Jesus being tested, and then after that, Jesus draws you right into the testing, and you're called into the same life of Jesus in which you will experience kairotic moments, moments of divine decision throughout your life of faith. Now, much of our lives, arguably, is lived according to chronological time, according to Chronos. We'll get up tomorrow, we'll look at the calendar. The calendar will say Monday. We'll go 9 to 5, and then there's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We just live it over and over again. That is our repetition. That is our routine in which we live. But if you are a person of faith who has been claimed in baptism, like Jesus Christ himself was claimed in baptism at the River Jordan, there will come those times of opportunity and crisis and chaos known as kairotic times in your life. Now, the season of Lent for us is a training ground. It's a 40-day and 40-night period in which we are called as the church to build up our faith so that when we are faced with these kairotic moments, these temptations, these opportunities for victory and defeat, that we will, like Jesus, follow in his footsteps and walk in his ways. So may God in Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, guide you not only through Lent, but also through your lives, so that in God's moments of decision, you may follow in the ways of our risen one. Amen.